Thank you, Brenda, for those prayers. And let me add my welcome to Brenda's. It's good to be together. It's good to be together, especially on days like this where we can just lift up Jesus in the middle of all that we are going through. Because it's been a tough week, hasn't it? Yeah, it was a tough Wednesday. It was a really tough Friday. Yeah, we're still in the middle of this. Had a little bit of a break last night. So maybe what we need to do right now is just take a deep breath. Just breathe in and then breathe out. There's a beautiful tradition in our church and the whole worldwide church called the Jesus Prayer, where when you breathe in Jesus Christ, Son of David, and then have mercy on me as you exhale. So let's do that. Just Jesus Christ, Son of David, in your head say that, and then have mercy on us and breathe. Come, Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is here. He is here with you. So just breathe. Receive the Holy Spirit. And release any fear. Receive His love. And breathe out any anxiety. And hear His words spoken on that very first Easter. The disciples, like us, were behind closed doors, and the doors were locked because they were afraid of what might be happening because the whole city seemed to be in a turmoil. And then Jesus appeared, and the first thing He said to them was, "Peace, peace be with you." So hear those words for you as well as for all of us this morning. You know, when I've been kind of reading the papers, listening to the news, reading news online, there's some words that I've heard quite a bit during this time. One of those is the word safe, right? So we often now kind of finish our what's that with be safe, or we might say, are you safe? And that word safe has made its way into our daily dialogue. And that says something, doesn't it? That says that we may not feel safe, so the anxiety we might be feeling is normal. The other word I've heard a lot of is the word unprecedented, right? There's been an unprecedented use of the word unprecedented, right? We just see it not only here, but in Washington and in London, but especially here we've heard it, right? We've heard about unprecedented numbers of people. We've heard about unprecedented measures. We've heard about unprecedented violence. We've heard about unprecedented closing of the whole of the MTR. That word unprecedented says it's never happened before. And that also can be a word of anxiety, right? But into those words, we need to hear the word of God. We need to draw deeply on our faith. We need to hear the words, hear these words from Paul in 2 Corinthians. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed. What's going on? But we are not in despair. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair because of our faith. Romans 15:4 says this. It says, the things that were written in the past, in other words, the scripture, was written to instruct you and to give you endurance. And a hope, right? We need that endurance as we go on. Hear another word. This may be a word. This is a verse that we've held on to a lot. I've held on to and Marianne, and that is Romans 12:12, which says this, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. That's a good word, patient in affliction, right? Because the question is how long? It's always the length part of trouble that troubles us. So be patient in affliction. And then he finishes up with faithful in prayer. So let me just remind you and encourage you as a fellow traveler in this, hear the words of the Lord. Draw deeply into the scripture as we go through this. This morning we're going to hear a scripture that says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That might be a harder word to receive at this time, but it's a word for us at this time. 2 months ago, when as a team we were planning our sermon series of what we would do, this passage was given to us for this day. So the Lord sees us. He sees where we are as we're going through this passage today. I believe it's a word for us for today. It's part of it's actually the last sermon in the relationship sermon series, and the topic is frenemies. How many of you know this word, frenemies? Yeah? I always thought frenemy was just like came out of the TV series Friends or something. I thought they made it up, but it's actually a real word. And if you're playing Scrabble, you get lots of points for it. So it's a good word. But frenemies, basically what that means is it's kind of somewhere between a friend and an enemy. It's someone that you are nice to, but you don't really like, right? We used to call those bosses, but this is a frenemy, right? But what it says to us, it says that there's a spectrum here. There's that friend who is closer than a brother, Proverbs says. And then at some end, there's someone we might even call an enemy. And then somewhere between is these frenemies. And sometimes frenemy is a good word because we don't feel comfortable calling our relationship with someone who we disagree with an enemy. That feels too strong, right? So sometimes we call them a difficult person, and we'll talk about that today. So we're going to look at this range by hearing these words from Jesus. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. That must have silenced the crowd, right? Because they're not hearing this. They're not looking at, you know, I mean, they're only hearing it. They're not looking at the screen. And they hear their words, love your enemies? Love your enemies. Yesterday, Marion asked me, we were just having a coffee in the morning, and she asked me, so what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I said, I'm preaching on Jesus' word, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. She thought for a second and said, okay, then let's do it. And it was that simple, right? Okay, then let's do it. That needs to be our response, but it may not come as easily and quickly for some of us. So we're going to pray. And then we're going to open up the scripture, and then we're going to hear those words come out of our mouths. Okay, then, let's do it. All right, let's pray together. Jesus, thank you that you never leave us. Thank you that you are with us right now. Thank you that you breathe your peace into us. Thank you that you call us to a higher place and a higher order. And thank you that you don't only call us, but you equip us. You come alongside us. So Holy Spirit, speak your words to my brothers and sisters. May we hear words of encouragement, words of endurance. May we also hear words of hope. And may we also know what it is that you're calling us to do and have the courage to do it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look at this passage together. It's going to be on the screen, and it's also on your bulletin. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And maybe screen, you can just follow along, or booth, you can just follow along in the back as we read it together. I feel like these are words we need to stand on if we can't stand, and just have that sense that we are standing on the Word of God, and also that these words come out of our mouth, that we say them together. Little context before we read it. Now, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and at this time, of course, Israel is occupied. It's oppressed by Rome. Jesus is gathering a sizable crowd to the point that there probably are Roman soldiers at these gatherings. So you can imagine some soldiers around as he's speaking. You can also know that part of his own disciples, as we mentioned earlier a couple of months ago, is that one is a zealot, so he's committed to overthrowing by power the oppressors. And then also there's Matthew. He's part of the establishment there. And into this context, Jesus says these words. So let's read them together. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Thank you for standing with me as we stand on the words of Jesus and the words of God. Originally, when I was thinking about this sermon, I was going to kind of divide it up and speak a good portion about friends and then a good portion about enemies or frenemies. But as I was praying about this more and more, I really felt like where our heart is as a city and where our heart is maybe in our families is more on the ends of the frenemies side or more on the ends of the enemy side. And we need to hear that word at this time. So there'll be another time where I'll speak more about friends because it's important. But let me just say this. Pray for good friends. Pray for good friends for you and pray for good friends for your kids and pray for good friends. This world kind of cheapens friends. And we talk about we're just friends, right? No, we are friends. The last night, Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. What a friend we have in Jesus, as the hymn goes, right? So pray for that. Pray for friends, because especially in times like this, we need friends who will stand beside us, who we can just pour out what's in our heart and not have to worry about filtering what we're saying and knowing we will be loved. That's the friend you have in Jesus, too. We can pour out our heart, and he will tell you what's on his heart, that friend. So we'll come back to friend on another day, but I want to look at the other end of the spectrum a little bit more today on this idea of some of the difficult people in our lives and also with frenemies and enemies. Now let me say this, as I'm speaking today, I'm not just speaking only about the context that Hong Kong finds itself in, into the political context. I am, but there are also, it's a much broader issue. These words speak into any of the conflicts that we may be going through. As I've spoken with many of you, what we've found over these last 4 months is because of the pressure outside, the pressure inside of our own relationships are also under strain. So you might find yourself being angry in places where you weren't angry before. You might find yourself crying. And so what happens is all of our relationships come under stress. And these are some words, I think, spoken to us today. Now, as Brenda's already mentioned, next Saturday, there's going to be this workshop. And let me invite you to be there. I'm going to be there. In fact, kind of the joke that we have of our staff is that the whole staff is going to be there to learn about conflicts. I hope it's a joke. I don't know. But no, we're all going to be there, or some of us going to be there, and you be there, because in that time we can really break apart what it is and how do we respond differently. How do we respond as Christ followers? But I want to share a couple of words with you today that God has laid on my heart, and these are the words that really are directly from Jesus, but they start with this passage from Paul. Paul says this, Romans 12:18. He says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is a beautiful verse to memorize. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, I said this 3 or 4 weeks ago, and that is we follow the Prince of Peace. We follow the one who said on the last night, put away your swords. Violence does not achieve anything. And so we can speak and should be speaking against that and praying against that. And we've been doing that from the beginning. Keep it up. But also, as I just said, this verse doesn't really have to do only with the current situation. What this verse has to do is with in your own lives, right? And the power of this verse partly comes in its practicality. Because it says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, do this. What it doesn't say is, then everything's going to be fine. It says, you do your part. What part can you play? And part of the stress as I've been ministering to people over these last 4 months is this feeling of, what can I do? And my answer for you this morning is, you can do a lot. And what are two things that we can all do? And these two things are given to us directly from Jesus. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But I say to you, love your enemies. You know, when we started this series, we defined love not as a feeling. It's not this really kind of lovey feeling. Sometimes that's there, and that's a great thing. But we love whether it's there or not. Love is a choice and an action. It's a daily choice and a daily action. So when Jesus is speaking, he's basically saying to us, choose love. Some of you may know Viktor Frankl. He's a survivor of the Holocaust, psychologist, wrote some powerful books. The one he's known for probably is in the area of this kind of choice in love. But he says this, between the stimulus and the response, there is a space. In other words, something happens to you, and before you have to respond, there's a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. Think about that for a moment. There's a stimulus. Somebody does something. It gets you really upset. But there's a little bit of a space. And sometimes we need to create a little more space and say, let me get back to you on that, or let me sleep on that, or whatever. That's creating more space. But in that space, what you're doing is you're choosing your response. And how you choose that response is where your growth and freedom come. And I think Jesus would say amen to this. And what he would say is, choose then love. Choose love in this space. Because you and I are called to be different. You can see in this whole passage, right? There's an understanding that this is not going to be natural for you to love your enemy. Because it starts with, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. In other words, be different, right? And then he goes on in 46 and 47. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do this? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? You're doing things, it says, the Gentiles do. In other words, people outside the faith. So let me say this as followers of Jesus Christ to you, be different. That's what Jesus is saying. You're not like the uns who don't believe. In this time, you are different. You can choose to love. Now, if you're a non-Christian hearing this today, you may be thinking, okay, well, I'm glad this doesn't apply to me. Maybe I'll put off a little bit because I have some enemies. But I wouldn't recommend that. But I would say to you that this is a power inside each one of us where we can love our enemies. Choose to love those and to pray for those who persecute you. So let's have some examples how that might work. Again, people have said, what can I do? What can we do as an individual? I believe that God has given each one of you a ministry platform. He's given me a ministry platform during this time to speak, but he's given you a ministry platform as well. Some of you, he's given a great ministry platform. You might be right in the middle of government and being able to speak words of love into decision makers, and I know you are. Some of you may not have that position, but you might be in a business place. I was having lunch with an executive, and as we were talking, he said, you know, I just feel my staff is hurting. So I just kind of walk around a lot more now and just ask, how are you doing? He's exercising his ministry, his platform ministry. He's choosing to love. And here's what he said. He said, you know, one time I was talking to this guy, and he started telling me things that I disagreed with. Vehemently. But I just kind of didn't say anything. What's he doing? He's choosing to love. Spoke with a doctor this last week, and this doctor was telling me that, you know, they're in a place where both protesters and police are coming in. And they said they don't choose who they're going to heal. They just heal everyone. And that's acting like the Father, because it says here in verse 45, your Father in heaven, he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous, basically healing everyone, whatever their views. But, you know, words are healing too, right? And so when people come to us, you may not be a doctor of medicine, but you can be a doctor of words. And your words can be healing by what you say and what you don't say. Sometimes to listen is good. So let me encourage you, wherever you are, to have this platform mentality that you have a place and God has called you to choose this unprecedented love. Right? Choose a love that may never have been in you before, or that person may not have experienced. That's the first thing, is that you love your enemies. But then Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, and pray for those who persecute you. Now, we tend to think as Christians about persecution in the context of faith, right? So we think we're persecuted for our faith, and we pray for persecuted Christians. But the word doesn't just apply to faith. If you read what persecution, the definition is that you are hurt or harmed because of your race. We've seen some of that in our city, and because of your political view, and because of your religious view. That's all in here, right? In terms of, so what would it mean to pray for those who persecute you? Now, the assumption here is that you will pray good things, right? Okay, let's just be clear on that. We may say, oh, yes, I can pray, but we pray good things. All right, so how can you and I, with integrity, pray good things for those who persecute us? Again, doesn't have to be in the geopolitical context. It could be in your home. It could be in your workplace. It could be wherever. How do we pray for those who persecute us or work against us because of our views, the people that we are calling difficult people in our lives? And again, one of the questions that's come up to me during these months is, does prayer really make a difference? We're praying every day. Does prayer really make a difference? And the answer is, yes, it does. Conflicts are matters of the heart. Large conflicts are matters of many hearts. But there is only one who can minister directly to the heart. And so when we call on prayer, the hearts are touched. One of those hearts is yours and mine. Because as we pray good things for the difficult people in our lives, for those who persecute us, what we do is we begin to heal our own heart, right? I remember one time I was praying for a difficult person in my life, and I was praying for that person. And as I was praying for that person, God gave me kind of an enlightenment, which I wasn't too happy about, but he gave me this enlightenment anyway. And the enlightenment was this, Steve, you're a difficult person for some other people. And I didn't want to think, because we don't like to think of ourselves as difficult people, right? They're difficult people. That's what happens. It's not us. But that's what happens when we pray, is that God begins to protect our own soul so we don't become prisoners of bitterness. We don't become prisoners of vengeance. Jesus says, or God says, leave the vengeance to me. I will take care of that. That's what happens when we pray, is that we begin to soften, we undermine the devil's working in our own heart. So that's the first thing. And then we pray for that person. So how do we pray? Because we need to pray with integrity, right? We can't just clench our teeth and say, pray good for him, God, even though I don't really want it. We can't do that, right? So how do we pray with integrity? I'll give you two ways that I found helpful. I've mentioned them before, but I think it's good in this context, this time frame, to hear them again. First is a visual prayer. The second is a verbal prayer. The visual prayer is called the bench prayer. So let's do this together right now. So just close your eyes. We're going to have a little imagination. It's a visual prayer. You may not have been familiar with visual prayers, but they're words that the prayers that go beyond words. So in your mind, imagine a bench. Can be any bench. You choose the bench. Park bench, you choose the bench. Have this picture of a bench in your mind. Now, put the person that you're struggling with, the difficult person, on that bench. It's a bench, so you can make it a long bench. You can put lots of people on there, but put the person on the bench or the persons. Now, in your mind's eye, in the eyes of your heart, actually, now in the eyes of your heart, visualize Jesus coming up and sitting with them on the bench. And then just leave it there. Don't put words in Jesus' mouth. But you know they will be blessed for being close to Jesus, because you're blessed when you're close to Jesus. And so just say amen. No words. And do that. That's a visual prayer. That bringing them into the presence of Jesus with integrity. Okay. Come back out, and the second is more of a verbal prayer. This verbal prayer is very well known because it's the prayer of Jesus on the cross. It's the one that he prayed when he's up here and he's being killed. No one's asking for forgiveness. They're all yelling at him. They're cursing at him. There's violence. He's completely covered in blood, and he's there, and he prays this beautiful prayer for his enemies, and he prays, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know that they're killing the Son of God, because they wouldn't if they did." That's a beautiful, gracious prayer we can pray. Sometimes people do things and they don't really know how they're hurting you or the situation. They're just caught up in some principle or some whatever of rightness. And so we just pray, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." That's a way we can bless them, because if Father forgives them, they'll be blessed. Because when we're forgiven, we feel blessed. And so we're praying good things for them. So let me offer you those two practical ways of praying that is a way of praying for those who persecute you. Try it out this week as we choose to love and we choose to pray. You know, when I was thinking about this passage originally, I was thinking, what sentence kind of captures what Jesus is saying? And I felt like the sentence was, choose unprecedented love, choose unprecedented prayer. That stuck to me. Choose unprecedented love, love that's never been seen maybe in you or have been the people around you. Choose unprecedented prayer. Pray like you've never prayed before for those who persecute you. But as I was thinking of that, I felt the author of this passage saying, "I'm not sure I agree." I felt Matthew saying, "That's not unprecedented. I've seen that love before. I've seen that love in Jesus before." Matthew was a tax collector. What does Jesus say here? Even the tax collectors do that. I wonder if he smiled at Matthew when he was saying those words. Matthew says, "I was the enemy. I was the enemy." And he, Jesus, loved me. He, Jesus, prayed for me. Now here's the truth. We were all enemies. And Jesus prayed for us, interceded for us. Jesus loved us and brought us into this place, into this kingdom. So now we need to do it for others. And now we need to choose the love that is precedented in Jesus, to choose the prayers that are precedented. The passage finishes with, "Be perfect, therefore, as your Father is perfect." Not a small ask, right? And it may be that when we hear these words, we think, well, I definitely can't do that. And we know Jesus is not asking us to be perfect. The third sermon on this series was when we make mistakes, and we will all make mistakes. This word perfect really is the word teleos. It just means that's where we're going. That's the goal. That's the direction. That's where we're headed. Not less than that is where we're headed, but that's where we're headed. Every time when the gospel is preached, right after the gospel is preached, the devil starts messing with our minds. And so we'll go out and we say, I can't do that. I can't really pray for my enemy. I really can't love my enemy. I don't even feel that love right now. The devil will start to work on you. He'll say, you're not perfect, right? And he's right on all those counts. You can't do it alone. But you can do it with the empowerment of Jesus Christ. And you can do it. You can choose to do it. Love is a choice and an action. You can choose to do it with each other's help. So, brothers and sisters, let me give us a challenge here. 1 week challenge. Today's the beginning of the week. So I'm going to give you a one-person, one-week challenge. And that is to pray for whoever that person might be. And just every day, pray for them. Maybe one of the two ways we talked about, maybe another way. Maybe just pray for their family. Pray for good for them. You may want to have a combined one person. It may be a group that you know is stirring in your heart. Put them in there. Every day, 7 days, this is the challenge for all of us. And if you're a non-Christian, take the challenge with us. I believe God hears all our prayers as we call out to him. Let's start together as we do that. Let's pray. And just in this prayer time, I'm going to give you a moment of silence just to reflect on what it is that you have heard Jesus saying to you. And then I'm going to invite us to start our homework together. So just where you are, let's pray for those who persecute us. Not out loud, that might get embarrassing, but silently. Your heart to God's heart. The frenemy, the difficult person, whatever that person or persons are, maybe choose the bench prayer, or maybe choose the Father, forgive them, for they don't know all of the harm they're doing. And Spirit, move upon us with grace and mercy. All our relationships come down to grace. Fill us with grace. Make us gracious people. Fill our prayers with grace. Empower us now. Power my brothers and sisters now to pray the way you prayed for us, the way you loved us. Jesus, we thank you that you not only said these words, but you lived them and died them. And may we, through your power, follow you each day. In Jesus' name, amen.